The following episode of The Naturalist has been brought to you by Cabot Cheese. Cabot Cheese of Vermont, dairy farm family owned since 1919 and proud to be voted your four-time champion cheddar. Look for the really great taste of Cabot Cheese in your favorite grocer's dairy case. Visit them on the web at www.cabotcheese.com. The New England and New York farm families who own Cabot Cooperative are offering listeners a chance to win some of the world's best cheddar simply by calling in 718-497-2128 or emailing us at info@heritageradionetwork.com. What a great way to start the holidays. We'll be picking a winner for the program 2 weeks from now. Cabot Creamery is a proud supporter of what Heritage Radio is all about.
Welcome to The Naturalist. This is Carol Butler with Bernie Wides, who's back from Turkey.
Back from Turkey, right.
And I asked Jack for bedbug music, which he came up with in about 2 seconds. That was pretty good.
You know, it sounds like the March of the Bedbugs.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Very nice. Okay, so I did a show while Bernie was away on traumatic extragenital reproduction, insemination. But I'm going to try not to talk about that today, as much as it interests me greatly.
No reproduction today, Carol?
I'll try not to.
Okay.
You know
all
that
right.
This
I
is
know.
Sperm competition and all these reproductive antagonisms
it's,
are very very much up
right.
my alley. But
right.
I everybody who knows that I'm working on a book about bedbugs. So I've been really immersed in bedbug literature and talking to all kinds of people who are involved with bedbugs. And all anybody wants to know when they hear I'm working on this is what should they do if they have them and how should they avoid them.
Right. How can you get rid of them once you get them?
Right. So I'm feeling like I've done enough research that I probably can begin to answer those questions. I am not an expert, but I certainly, my head is full of bed bugs.
Oh, my
and
God,
so,
Carol.
Yeah, well, so I've told Bernie to... We'll do a show, and he can interview me or ask me questions, and I will try my best to answer them all. And if people have questions, they can blog on the website for the program, and I will look at it and try to answer if I can. There's a lot of misinformation around, which is one reason that I'm trying to write a really authoritative book so that people mm-hmm. can really get the best, most correct information available.
So the book is sort of still in the beginning stages. You've done a few chapters.
Well, we have a publisher who is very interested,
oh, that's
who
good.
Asked to have it exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agreed to that, but it's taking a very long time. And I usually don't write until I have a contract, but I'm so interested in this. And I feel that this book, there's really a need for a really good book. So I was doing a lot of research and studying and reading, and so I started writing. So I've laid out 4 chapters already, and we have the whole structure of the book designed because that's part of the proposal. So there will be a book.
Okay.
And hopefully this publisher, who is a very good publisher, keeps sending me emails saying that it's going to be very soon, that it's just this is always a long process.
Right, but so just give us a basic thing. Why why do they bite people? And well, are we the primary hosts for the bedbugs or what?
Well, there are about 30 different species of bedbugs in 5 genera. But there are 2 that feed primarily on humans. There's a common bedbug. Thanks. There's a common bedbug, and then there's a tropical bedbug.
Okay.
And those are the ones that are a problem to us. They also will feed on other mammals, but when they do research in the laboratory, I'm very interested in this part of it. I'm asking all these researchers, how did you feed your bedbugs? Because they don't always tell you. Some people just put it on a person, and they feed on the human blood. But they use chickens, they use mice, they use cow blood that's mm-hmm. been treated with an anticoagulant. So they can feed on other types of mammals. the bed bugs that feed on humans, it is thought, originated in caves, that when people lived in caves, the earliest, most primitive bed bugs fed on the bats.
Uh-huh.
And that became acclimated to feeding on humans. And then when the humans left the caves and moved into tents and other kinds of structures, including your
right, the fairy chimneys.
They took the bed bugs with them.
Yeah.
And so that's how bed bugs became an issue.
Yeah, but by the way, you know, traveling, that's in your mind these days.
It's a big question.
So maybe we'll cover that too, how you can try to protect yourself traveling.
Right.
Because it was a concern of ours traveling around. But luckily, so far, I don't think we brought anything home from Turkey except that the glass.
The eye
that I gave you and some halva, which
very
is terrific. And by the way, you know, they serve halva for breakfast.
That would be okay
in Turkey
with me.
Because people put it on their bread.
Yeah. Oh,
like a spread. When I was in Israel, they spread it on the bread.
I love that.
So okay. So back to the book.
We'll talk about traveling. No, we can talk about that. There are people are very concerned about traveling now and not bringing home bed bugs. One of the things that is being recommended is that you wrap your luggage in plastic. You can do it at the airport in most big cities, and that will keep, if your luggage goes in a cargo hold, that keeps your luggage from picking up anything from other people's luggage. And then when you go to a hotel for the first time, you really should look it over very carefully and make sure you don't see any signs of bed bugs. And if you do, you should report it right away and ask for a change of room. I personally would ask for a different hotel, but it's recommended that you ask for a change of room.
So what do you look for, Carol?
Okay.
What's the sign?
First thing is you should put your luggage in the bathtub. You should not put your luggage on the bed or your coat, anything that might pick up the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
You want to put it, when you're inspecting, you want to put it in the bathroom. And I would put it right in the tub. So that there's no bed bugs are going to have access to it until you determine that there aren't any in the room. And then the thing to do is to pull up the sheet, pull up the mattress, and look for any signs of little blood stains or any signs of debris from the skins. Look in the seams. Look in the cracks, but mostly look around the bed. That's where you'll see it. And look in the drawers. But if you see anything like that, any little spots, even though it might not be from bed bugs, don't stay there. Stay in another room.
How big are they? The size of a sesame seed, or are they bigger than that?
It's a problem. There are five nymph stages
before
the adult, right? Oh. So the first nymph is translucent, and it's so small it can fit between the teeth of a zipper.
Hmm.
It's very, very tiny.
Yeah, you're not going to
see
those.
So you're not going to see it.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to see it. People think of bed bugs as the pictures that you see where they're engorged with blood, but an adult that has fed on blood is 300% larger in volume than it is normally.
Hmm.
So you really aren't always going to see them, which is why dogs are so valuable, because when you use, they call them canine, I like that, K9 with the number, when you use dogs that are trained to detect bed bugs, they have very sensitive sense of smell, and they will find bed bugs when a human doesn't see them. If you inspect an apartment and you don't see them, and they may be there, the dogs are much more likely to find them. Now, people saw, my partner David asked me last night, he saw the article in the Times, which discussed the pros and cons and limitations of the dogs. But the dogs are really the best method that we have if you're concerned about your house or your apartment having bed bugs. If you look on your own and you're still not satisfied, having an inspection with a dog that's properly trained is a really kind of... I've done many inspections where I've gone around with different inspectors and different dogs, and it's very reassuring to go around and the dog sniffs everywhere and doesn't alert, you know that it's pretty likely that you don't have bed bugs, because that's what they're trained to. They get a reward if they respond to that smell, just like dogs that are trained to detect bombs,
right?
Which is how that started, or marijuana, or or people. Dogs will find dead bodies. They're trained, certain dogs, you know, they're trained on different scents.
Right, different scents.
And reinforced for those scents.
So are they readily available now, people to come with dogs? And how do you know that the dog is qualified?
It's a booming industry, certainly in New York. I went around the other day with a guy who was up from Virginia, staying in a hotel with his dog, because the company that hired him was so swamped with requests that they didn't have enough dogs to get through the day. So they brought him up with his dog. His dog was trained on termites and bed bugs, which, because he's from Virginia, he said they don't really have a big problem with bed bugs in Virginia, but they have plenty of termites. That's a questionable thing, because you really want to know that the dog is reacting to bed bugs and not
termites.
Not termites, although we don't have termites in our apartments, but there are people who feel the dog should only be trained on bed bugs.
Right, but people have houses. And most houses yet are made out of wood. So.
Right, right. And this is how he makes a living. So the dog is trained on the two things. What did you, I'm sorry, you asked me something.
Oh, about how do you know? They don't need a license to do this.
If they're trained. There are ways to determine that they're properly trained and have completed the training and refresher training. There are a lot of questions you can ask. I don't think there's one national standard, but there are local standards, and you have to ask around and really just satisfy yourself that these people are professional. Yeah. Ask for references, you know, like you would for a physician or anybody else. You just have to check them out.
What about like the New York City Health Department? Are they in on this at all? Do you know?
Well, they're very busy with it. They just made some new regulations about letting people know. There's now a law that you have to let people know if you're renting an apartment, if there is a history of bed bugs in that apartment. Things like, you know, that's only a few months, a couple of months ago.
That's pretty new, that thing.
Very new, yeah.
Well, also, my friend just moved to a new apartment. And there was no mention at all of checking out the apartment with dogs or anything.
Well, no, it's not really likely. If the apartment is empty, you could look around, and if it wouldn't be a crazy idea to check it out with dogs in case there had been an infestation or there was an infestation in an adjacent apartment, it's much easier to treat the apartment when it's empty than if you have to treat it when it's full of all your stuff.
Yeah, he has 100 boxes sitting in his rooms now,
right,
waiting to be unpacked.
Right.
So that could be a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I let you ask the questions because there's a million things. We can talk about how to treat an apartment, but I don't know what are you curious about?
Okay, first of all, why do they bite?
They live on blood.
Okay,
that's what they sustain themselves on.
Like mosquitoes, similar to mosquitoes?
Yes. And there have been studies where they offered them water and they really aren't interested. They might taste a little bit of it, but really the way that they get moisture in their body is from the blood meal. And they're they're adapted to desiccation. They're adapted to drying out, so that if there isn't a blood meal available, they can live for a really long time without taking in any moisture. They can have like 30-40% less moisture than is normal, and they still survive.
So they sort of shrivel up?
Yeah, they can live. Some have been known to live as long as a year. Do you want this? We're taking turns coughing today.
Yeah, there must be something in the air here.
Maybe it's in the air, yeah. But they can live up as long as a year. But the standard thing that people say is 6 months. If you have bed bugs in your house, there are people who will come and prepare. They will pack everything up. They will help you sort through everything. Many things can be put in the dryer at a very high temperature, 60 degrees centigrade, which is 140 Fahrenheit, Celsius. They don't say centigrade anymore. I have to try to remember to say Celsius. At least I caught myself. But that will kill them if you put them in for a period, you know, I don't know how long, half an hour, let's say, at a very high temperature, because it dries them out and they die. Even the eggs dry out more easily than the bugs because they really need the moisture.
So if you put all your bedding and stuff in the
right,
in the
put
dryer,
it through the wash and then put it in the dryer, at a hot dryer.
Hot dry.
Right. And if your other things like electronics, things that you can't wash or heat, you pack them up, seal them up, and put them in storage for 6 months.
Mm.
And or leave them packed up in the house, I guess. But that way you leave them long enough for the bugs to die.
Right.
And then, of course, you clean everything when you take them out. Okay. All right. We're going to take a break in a minute, and then we'll get back and talk some more.
Right. When we come back, I want to ask you a question about diatomaceous earth.
Okay. It's Carol Butler and Bernie Wides, the naturalists. And Bernie had a question about diatomaceous earth.
Yeah, because, Barbara, our mm-hmm. friend Barbara mm-hmm. from the museum, she had a problem, and somebody advised her to spread diatomaceous earth all over her bed.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the mattress, but, underneath and all that stuff. And she thinks that it got rid of them.
Right. Yeah, you can use it. It's not... It's the danger with that is it's something that people do themselves, and I suppose there's no harm in trying it, but it's not really a thorough kind of treatment that a professional is going to do. I was at a talk at the museum, and there were people who were from Met Council and people in rent control departments where the landlords wouldn't cooperate and do a real solid treatment. And they were using diatomaceous earth. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not as thorough and comprehensive as either a chemical treatment or a heat treatment mm-hmm. that you would do, which would really thoroughly cover the whole apartment. You sprinkle this around, you dust it around, and you have to leave it for a few days, I think 3 days, and then you vacuum it up,
mm-hmm.
and it dries them out. Any bed bugs that come in contact with it will be dried out.
Yeah. Also, diatomaceous earth is made of the exoskeleton of diatoms, and they're made of silica,
mm-hmm.
and they're glass. So, and at that size, they're really tiny. They're really dangerous little glass particles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not good for people to breathe it in either.
No, it has a lot of negatives. I don't want to be negative about it. I'm more involved with the professional cleaning, so I don't. I know that people use that, but it's. I suppose it doesn't hurt. There are other things you can do too. You can stand the legs of your bed in a jar and put water in the jar,
mm-hmm.
and that way they also can't get to your bed. It's a way of trying to keep them away, but it still means your house is infested if you're doing that. Another interesting trick that somebody told me, who shall be nameless because I want to take responsibility if I make mistakes, so I'm not quoting anybody.
If you have a problem, just call Carol. We're going to give you a phone
blame
number.
Blame it on
call
me.
And,
right. What he suggested, which is very, I love this one, and I haven't seen it anywhere. You know the blue painter's tape?
Yes, right.
Okay, so that doesn't mar the surfaces. That's what that's good for. Mm-hmm. You can put painter's tape on the floor all around your bed, completely encircle your bed with the painter's tape, and that protects your floor. And then on top of that, put double-sided tape.
Uh-huh, okay.
Run it along the blue tape. That way, if bed bugs come to the bed, they'll get caught on the tape. Not that this is a way to get rid of them, but it's a way to find if you have them or not. If you find any bugs on that tape in the morning, you could take it to a pest control person and ask them to identify the bug and see what it is.
Or look in your book when it comes out.
For sure, look
absolutely.
In my book.
You have great illustrations
right.
of these.
Right.
These critters in all their stages.
Right. We have them already.
Yes. So
and the other because you can't tell, you can get bitten by other things.
Right.
A friend of mine had one bite and had just come back from a trip, and was very concerned that she had bed bugs. But they don't even in really. They don't even show pictures. In some of the books, they will say, we're not showing illustrations of what the bites look like because it's misleading. People can go from having no reaction to the bites
right.
to having terrible allergic reactions.
Sure, it's like any other bug bite. That
right. There's no
people are allergic sometimes to and people aren't.
And people have very yeah. different reactions.
Sure.
And they when they bite you, they inject a little anesthetic into you as well as an anticoagulant. Bats do the same thing. The vampire bats, only of which there are only three species right. in South America, two of which eat birds, bite uh-huh. birds. So it's very unlikely that a bat will bite you. This is a big issue.
Yeah, or they go to cattle a lot
right,
of times,
right?
Or your toes.
That's right. Only if you lay in the field. No, I wrote a book about bats, as you know.
Right.
If there's a field full of cattle and they move the cattle somewhere else and you lay down in that field and sleep uncovered in that field, you might get bitten by a vampire bat.
You have to move like a cow also? With it?
Not even.
No,
not even. Just have your toe sticking out.
Right.
But
if you sleep in a room that doesn't have any screens and the room is open to the air. Well,
it's very unlikely that they'll come into a room.
They make them too nervous.
Sometimes by accident. Yeah, but that's not what they do. All animals want to make it easy. They're not looking to make life complicated for themselves. So they don't come into a room to see if there's a person. If they're starving and there was a lot of animal activity there and the place is open, there's a big open space, it's conceivable they might blunder in there. And then they would sense you, and if you were quiet and sleeping, it could happen.
Yeah, so the reason that they bite people is to get the blood.
Only for the blood.
So is it the females that do it?
All
or the
them.
Males?
There are
both.
Five nymph stages,
yeah.
And in order to molt, in order to grow,
to the next stage,
they have to have a blood meal.
I see. Okay.
So each stage has to have a blood meal. And then when they become adult, in order to be reproductively viable, they have to have a blood meal. So if they're starving, they don't generally mate, mm-hmm. although I have heard that people have seen unfed bed bugs attempting to mate. So there's always exceptions. But the literature says that if the female bed bug is unfed, she will press herself against the floor or the wall in order to make herself unavailable to a male who's trying to mate with her. And she'll even curl the bottom of her abdomen underneath her to keep herself unavailable.
So like mosquitoes, it's just a female.
It's just
she
a female.
Needs the blood to make her for her egg production.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. In bed bugs, males and females need the blood to survive.
Okay. And what about ticks and those? Did you do research on those guys? Did you do a show on ticks while I was away?
I did a show on head lice.
Head lice. Are they in the same family or the lice are a different family? Right. Yeah.
They're related, but it's not the same family.
And
no.
Do they need the blood when they bite you too?
They do. But what's interesting about head lice, which I talked about when I did the show, they only live on your head.
Okay.
If they fall out of your head, they will die in a matter of hours because they need the warmth and the moisture from your scalp. And so it's very different from bed bugs who can live in a crack in the wall for a year.
Yeah.
Head lice can't do that. They're much
survive.
More fragile and they're much more vulnerable.
What about a hairy guy like me with a beard and all that? Would they live in my beard? I don't know. Beard lice.
Sure.
Head lice.
Sure.
Okay.
Even pubic lice.
Pubic lice,
right?
No.
Yeah. But bed bugs prefer people who aren't hairy. They want to get right to the skin.
Skin, right.
So they would they'll if they're starving, they'll bite during the day as well. If there's a room if there's a place that isn't used and it's only used during the day, they'll feed during the day because they'll sense the breath. They
right,
sense
the CO2,
the
carbon dioxide.
Dioxide.
Right.
And they will, it's survival for them. So they will bite during the day as well. But in most places where there are people sleeping regularly in the house, they'll hide out until the nighttime.
Right.
And you don't feel them when they bite. I am willing. Yeah. I'm going to have to do it. I tend to be a little bit allergic, so I'm a little hesitant. But I was at a meeting where everybody was allowing themselves to be bitten by a bed bug just to see what it felt like. Uh-huh. And this was before I was working on the book. Now I have to do it. But sure. I was not working on the book at that point. I was just interested. And I chose not to do it because I didn't. I didn't feel I needed to be bitten by a bed bug.
But now you have to.
But now I feel like I do.
You know, if you're a researcher and
that's right,
people can depend on your book. You have to be a first. You know,
I have to know what it feels like. Right. The people say people who get bitten a lot, who feed their colony on themselves, say sometimes you don't feel anything, and sometimes you feel a little prick. So I'll do another show on what it felt like to be bitten by a bed bug.
Okay, now what about, is the bite dangerous? I mean, like, I know a lot of insects transmit diseases that way.
All the literature says that they don't transmit diseases, that they aren't disease vectors. There's some risk from transmission in the feces or when the disease is in the bug itself. I think with hepatitis B, there are certain diseases. They just did some research where if you made contact with the feces or crushed the bug with your hand and somehow contaminated yourself that way, you might conceivably, theoretically, you might get it. But they don't transmit it when they bite. So far, with HIV, there's been all kinds of research. And so far, they aren't considered a health hazard. They're more of a psychological hazard. Yeah.
Psychological hazard. So you may be called the queen of the bedbugs, Carol. You know that. You're risking your reputation now.
I don't think I like that title. But if that's the way it has to be, I'll live with it.
Yeah, because, you know, Ariana? That's Adriana, is it? Adriana.
Who is that?
At the museum.
Okay.
She was
Yeah.
And I called her the queen of the silkworm moths.
Right.
And she liked that she was the queen of the silkworm moths.
Right. That's nicer than queen of the bedbugs.
So what's the, do you know offhand the Latin name for the bedbug?
Sure. Simex lectularius is the common one.
We'll call you queen lectularius.
Okay.
Is that better?
That's okay.
Sound like
a little classier.
A Roman queen or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So this is really a new field for you.
Right,
I know you're interested in entomology because I think you're like entomologists also.
I do.
These buggy guys who...
I do. I like them. I love when they pick up bugs when you're traveling with them.
Right.
And they, oh, look at this. Oh, look, it crapped in my hand and all this kind of stuff. They're just very happy with all that.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you remember that movie... Elaine May didn't make it, but some other famous woman comedian, and it was with he was an explorer. He was an entomologist, this guy, and they went off to the jungles. And he was looking for new species or something, and he was the stereotype of the scientist,
an entomologist.
And all that.
I have one more thing I want to talk about before we run out of time, because it's interesting. And that is why bedbugs are sort of suddenly such a problem.
Oh, right. They made a big comeback.
Yeah. I'm doing research, and I've found articles from all different parts of the world that scientists have started writing starting in 2001, where suddenly in the scientific literature we're seeing bedbugs in Australia, bedbugs in Seoul, Korea, bedbugs in central Italy. The history is that bedbugs are an old problem. But in World War II, when they developed these synthetic insecticides like DDT that were used very widely, it really pretty much almost wiped out bed bugs in most places. There were still some places where they were active, obviously, but it really wiped them out essentially. So one of the problems is as people started traveling more, people were bringing them home. And also the DDT was outlawed, right? So there was like a 40-year period where they were a non-issue. And then gradually, when the insecticide practices changed, there was a buildup of the bedbug population, and so they began to spread. But the pest control people had never seen them. In a city like New York, let's say, a pest control person on the Upper West Side maybe never had a case with a bed bug.
No.
And so they weren't experienced in what to do. And we, the general population, also didn't have experience with the bed bug. I mean, there were some exceptions.
Right.
I remember when I was first married, we brought home the newspaper and there was a bug in the newspaper. And my husband went crazy because he thought it was a bed bug. And we took it to be identified. We took it to a pest control person, and it was a chinch bug.
Oh, chinch bug.
Which looks a little bit like a bed bug, a little round bug.
Yeah.
But if you have a mouse in your house, or if you have cockroaches, or if you have ants, you know what to do.
Sure.
You don't like it, but you don't get hysterical. But because bed bugs are a relatively new problem, nobody is quite comfortable or sure what to do. So that's why there's so much alarm about them.
Yeah, and they're hard to get rid of also.
And they're very hard to get rid of.
Sure, that sounds like a could be expensive proposition.
It is an expensive proposition.
Sure.
They now have bed bug monitors. They have, electronic things.
You put them under your bed?
Yes, you plug it in. If you've had an infestation and you are nervous about it, you plug it in and it will register from the scent. If there are bed bugs, and it'll let you know that they're back.
Mm-hmm. This must have an alarm in it.
Yeah, it has an alarm.
And then you jump out of bed.
Definitely.
Right.
The easiest way to get rid of them is really a problem in apartments. The easiest way is a heat treatment, because you don't have to take everything out of the house. If you have a private home, they will come and seal everything up, seal all the cracks in the outs, where the bedbugs could escape to, and they pull up with this big, powerful generator truck, and they pump very hot air into the house and heat up the whole house so the hot air gets into all the cracks where the bedbugs are hiding. And they do that for a number of hours, and then you come back with a dog and check. But that's a good way to get rid of them.
But you don't leave your relatives in there while you do this. Unless
it's your choice.
You don't like, you know.
It's your choice.
I could see my mother-in-law in there. That would have been nice. Get her roasted.
Right. And they have portable units that they do use in apartments.
Oh, yeah.
But
a heating unit?
Heating units. Kind of, yeah. But they're not that powerful. I have heard not enthusiastic things about them, even from pest control operators who feel that they need to get a more powerful unit. So the alternative is to have a big truck pull up on your block and run this huge hose up to your window and then have this noisy thing. I mean, it just is not practical in the city.
Yeah.
And also it then affects your neighbors as well.
Sure.
It's very cumbersome. So in the city, they use a chemical application. Two applications.
But do you know what kind of chemical they use? Is it insecticide
kind? It's a type of insecticide. Yeah. There are different ones. They're developing new ones because a lot of bed bugs are resistant to the ones that but they're resistant to the ones that they've been using.
Yeah.
So they will come. I talked about packaging up your stuff.
Right.
Maybe putting it in storage, and then when you've done all the preparation, they will come and treat the whole apartment. They have to treat with something that will not be repellent to the bed bugs. It's interesting. You're not trying. You don't want something that they're going to avoid. You want something that they're going to actually walk on, so that it'll kill them. So it has to be a certain kind of chemical. And then if you do two treatments, and then do a good thorough cleaning, you have to wait a certain amount of time for the toxins of the treatment to subside, and then you can bring a dog back to do a check. That's
right.
The right way to do it. Oh, I want to talk about one other thing about the dogs. Do I have time?
Yeah.
Jack is not signaling us.
No, go for it.
This is also something that I learned from somebody who really knows about it, and this is not, I didn't know this. The dog comes, if you come with a dog to do an inspection, they move very quickly through your apartment, and their dog looks everywhere, and if it smells a bed bug, it alerts. It sits and it points. It does a certain sign that the handler knows indicates bed bugs. But it isn't that they shouldn't, if the dog alerts It's not enough. They shouldn't just come. The dog alerts. They say, oh, you have bed bugs. They give you a bill and they leave, which is really what I thought happens. What's supposed to happen is the dog is supposed to then help narrow down where the problem is. So if the dog alerts to your dresser, for example, they're supposed to take the drawers out, lay them all on the floor, and then make another pass with the dog and see if it's one drawer, where it is, so you can narrow it down. And similarly, if it's a closet, you don't just say, oh, that's it, pay me $300.
Hmm.
But that there's a way to narrow it down so that you may not have to do a major
overhaul, yeah.
Right? If it's just a very small infestation, you might just have one or two bugs that came back with you in a suitcase.
Yeah. But most of the time, I can see the bed bugs ending up in the bed because that's where the blood is. That's where you are.
That's right.
And living in the bed frame or somewhere under the mattress.
Well, they retreat because they can smell the carbon dioxide. They'll travel for a meal a distance.
Okay.
And they can also be coming from an adjacent apartment.
Mm.
So that's the other thing that you have to do is seal up any cracks in your walls. That's good to do anyway. And whenever there is an incident of bed bugs, the correct thing to do is to inspect the apartments. They call it a clover leaf, above and below, mm-hmm. on either side and
right.
across the hall. And if you get a clean bill of health all around, that's
then
a pretty,
okay.
you can be, feel pretty good.
Yeah. It would be good if they could develop some kind of a scent that bed bugs don't like a perfume. I'm thinking
right,
about
right.
Chanel.
Yeah.
Could make a perfume
right.
that would be repellent to bed bugs.
Right.
And you just put it on, and that's it. You wouldn't have to go through all this whole mess. They leave and go somewhere else.
Right. Well, they have sprays
or
now.
Or die.
They have repellent sprays that people are using on their luggage
when they
travel.
Come home. Okay.
No, to travel, before you travel, you treat.
That's a good idea.
You spray your luggage. I don't
right.
know how good they are. I think it's
yeah.
something fairly new. But you spray your luggage, and that also tries to deter them from making their home, getting settled in your luggage.
Right.
But I think the problem with a repellent is that they're so resilient, and that you could repel them from your. Well, what would you do? Put it around your bed, let's say,
mm-hmm.
right? But then they would hide somewhere. Then it wouldn't kill them necessarily, and they can live a long time. So they just hide, and then they might come out during the day and feed on whoever was in the house. It's pretty tricky to get rid
of
them.
Yeah, it sounds like tricky. But I was imagining something that you could apply to your body.
Right.
And that the bed bugs wouldn't like. So they come to feed on you, and they say, oh, this person doesn't taste good or smell right. I'm leaving. They pack up. And they go to
right,
the next
like
apartment.
Citronella or something.
Yeah,
right.
That might repel them. That would, then you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Right.
And if there was nobody to get the blood from, they would die.
Well, so far, there isn't anything like
that.
We have
to
I'm
get
sure
to work on it.
There's a lot of work being done on all these things because
yeah.
they're looking for remedies. The one thing that I read somewhere, which no one has ever heard of, but I did read it as a recommendation in a book, was that you take sleeping pill. Because if you take a sleeping pill, that's enough to knock you out. If the bed bug bites you, it's going to die because the amount of the sedative will kill the bug.
That's a good idea.
Right. I love that idea, but I think it's crazy. Uh-huh. I don't think that it's really valid. It might be valid, but no one ever says that. But
no.
I did read it somewhere.
Uh-huh. That's another nice approach.
So that's a way.
Sometimes if it can't sleep, I take a Tylenol PM or one of those mild things.
Right, right. Well, that
maybe
for a but
work.
For a bed bug,
that
might knock them on their keister.
Sure, they're, and what do they weigh? Nothing.
Nothing. They're very, very tiny.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So that and the okay.
Are we getting a signal? Okay.
Yeah, we have about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
The other thing I thought of is if we could if people give blood, at blood centers,
mm-hmm.
maybe they could employ the bed bugs to do it. It's painless, right? You don't
give
feel
them,
it?
You want to give them a job.
Give them a job. Put them to work, and then, then they'll form a union. They'll go and strike.
Right.
And that'll be the end of them. They'll leave.
Then we'll have more problems, right? Because they'll be organized and they'll really feel powerful.
The takeover.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, then we're going to get into science fiction here.
Right, or bed bugs taking over the world, which is more than I can handle.
New York City would be good, you know, like the big ape on the Empire State Building.
Right, right, right.
Have the big bed bug hanging
Well, it's bad enough. Terminix did a survey of the top, the 15 cities in the United States that have the most infestations based on phone calls to their centers, because they're in 45 states, I think. Yeah. And New York was number one.
Number one.
Ohio had four cities on the list. I remember that.
Really?
Yeah,
those
it was interesting.
People in Ohio, they must be tasty. Good blood.
I guess.
Yeah, because, you know, New York has traveled so much. I think that's part of the reason.
Absolutely.
We're so mobile, this
And we have so many new people coming. People coming from all over with luggage from all places in the world.
Sure.
And staying, and we have so much transient traffic in some countries. It's very interesting how they write about it, because they're very defensive. You know, they say, we don't have bed bugs in residential buildings, only in hotels. But in hotels, in fact, where you have hotels are a big problem, because you have a lot of transient traffic, and people can come for a night, leave a couple of bed bugs there and go away, and then you come and pick them up.
Right.
So that's, hotels have to be really
careful. Yeah, well, we're home now about a week and a half, so we really don't know if we brought home any passengers yet. Right? It might take a while until, you know.
Well, if you don't have any bites, you're probably okay, because they need to bite you.
Right.
So if you're there and you're sleeping every night in the house, they will come and find you and bite you.
Yeah, by now they would have found us.
By now. So if you don't have any bites, it's probably that you didn't bring anything home, and you just had a nice trip, and that was that.
So how can people contact you, Carol, now that you're going to be a famous expert?
Well, I'm not a famous expert
yet,
by any means.
Not yet. When your book comes out, the Times is going to do a big expose, you'll see.
I would hope. People can write their questions on the website. There is a blog, and there is a place for
comments.
And I will read it and try to, you know, I guess I can reply right on there. So if there are questions that I haven't answered, I'm happy to give it a try or make suggestions.
That's good. Okay. Yeah, we have a comment section. So if you have any questions for Carol or for me about any show or anything, just go to our site and it says, any comments? And it's very easy to do. You just put in a comment, and we'll get back to you.
Very good.
I think that's the end of the show for today, Carol.
And I think so.
It was another interesting show in entomology.
Right.
And I won't call you the queen of the...
I appreciate that. Yeah. And I will take this is from another show. But
yes, yes.
I have my Turkish eye here that I'm going to hang up and protect myself from. Maybe this protect me from bed bugs.
There you go.
Hey, guys, this is Jack, the producer. Okay. Just wanted to let you know this was the 50th show of
The
Naturalist.
All right, we should celebrate, Jack. Okay, thanks. And Jack's our terrific producer. He always comes to the rescue if we are stuck or something.
Absolutely.
And is Nat here too today? Nat, the engineer. Okay, so thanks to Nat.
Thanks to you, Jack. Both. Great.
Yep. And we'll be back with interesting shows in the future. And if you have any requests, any kind of a show, just send us a comment, and we'll be glad
to
think about it and do it. So we'll sign off for myself, Bernie Wise, and Carol Butler, who did another great show. And what about the expression, batty as a bed bug, or crazy as a bed bug? Save that for another show.